The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every take in a sim, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Kelly Bidlin to my left. Still to come this hour. Mike Somich will join us. Give all his bets that he's working on these days. Not working on, but has across multiple sports. We look forward to that. We got to update these monthly baseball things too. Mm-hmm. It's you know, we talk about them in the moment, but we never go back and look. Oh, who won that month again? That kind of thing. And again, who we have here in August. The tweets are fascinating. First of all, John Massey, Cubs season win total. It's alive? ? Yes. And I'm glad you brought this up because this brings up a good point, I think. I made two season win total plays before the season started in baseball. One was the Padres over 80.5, gave my reasons why ad nauseum. Also, my number two was the Cubs season win total over 84.5. It is now on pace to win as well. We'll see if it does. Cubs have been on fire, obviously. They had the third best record in the month of third or fourth best record in the month of August. September, obviously, is where we are now. Pardon me. I just want to make a point about Major League Baseball season win totals, because with all the newfangled bets that are now available across the sports betting world, the legal sports betting world, people obviously love their same game parlays. We don't really advocate those, but that's just an example of what's available. Folks cross sport parlaying futures. You can do all these different things, but old school baseball pre-flop season win totals is still something that is, it's not sexy. It takes 6 months to cash. It's just the oldest school, the opposite of, you know, instant gratification kind of bet. But in terms of the success rate, I believe you can have as good a success rate doing those as you can any other sports betting vehicle. And I mean that because one of the biggest things, you have 162 points of data, right? So if your handicap is good, you can overcome negative variance. You can overcome a bad stretch of 3 weeks for your team if you have an over. Whereas in football, Kelly, if it's the NFL, right, it's a 17-game schedule. If you have a bad three-week stretch, you're probably toast. And in college football, even worse, right, it's even shorter. So I just, it gives me entree to just make that point about season wins. It's probably the least sexy thing in sports betting. But like we say about Paul Carr with his Premier League picks, it moves the chains forward more often than not. This is from Spud Webb, not that Spud Webb, but a different Spud Webb. He says, get back on your side of the set. This new look doesn't look lucky, he said. Lucky. So you see the tennis picks are going to go down the tubes now.
I am shocked by this reaction.
I did not anticipate all the things not anticipate that people would be tripping out about this.
Especially since, like, I mean, I guess it's tough to tell what our exact setup over at the D was when you're watching at home. But I mean, it's really like if I was sitting at this corner and then Gil was over in his current spot.
Las Vegas 514. Yo, no need to worry. Jaden will be fine. Why are we worried? It's just Vegas.
And then my first thought when I saw him there was like, oh, man, I should have gone to the Wind last night.
Well, this is where I feel like I'm 1,000 years old, right? Because the football that I grew up on, there is no chance a rookie quarterback who has not played a game yet 7 days before the season starts. Seven.
Yeah.
Well, would be allowed to be in, you know, Las Vegas watching his alma mater.
Well, I'd hate to connect these stories together, but I think it's the same situation of why Ricky Pearsall was out. It's now of the NFLPA that they need four consecutive days off, I guess, during training camp at some point. So that's why. And it's, you got to worry what's going to happen.
So I was in San Francisco this weekend, and I live about 1.5 miles away from Union Square in San Francisco. Oh, yeah. San Francisco, the city itself, is only 7 by 7 miles. Yeah, so everything is kind of close to everything. But I live a mile and a half away, and they, you know, middle of the day, broad daylight, as people kept tweeting us, in broad daylight, in the middle of Union Square, which is the shopping center, literally, of San Francisco. And I hate to say it, man, I wasn't, like, surprised in the least bit. Like, that's how you used to be able to, like, walk in Union Square, no problem, nothing. And now, man, head on a swivel. And Ricky Pearsall apparently was wearing a Rolex, I guess. And you don't do that.
Yeah, that was, I'll tell you.
By the way, I'm totally not blaming him. I'm just saying it's just a, it's just a.
Gil says it's his fault.
There we go. No, I'm not saying, I'm just saying it is just such a, by the way, for those who missed it, San Francisco rookie wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall, shot.
What, on Saturday?
Was it Saturday? Yes, it was Saturday.
Walks out of the hospital yesterday. My big thought with that, Gil, was, oh my gosh, I would have been in the hospital for about 13 months.
Well, they had the footage of him right after getting shot, being gingerly walked to the ambulance.
It was like through and through on the chest. Like, what are we talking about here?
Hope he's okay. Hope he's okay, and all indications are he will be okay. Yeah. NFL futures we did not get to. These are mine, and we have added the Mike McDonald Coach of the Year. Thank you, sir, at the bottom there, 13-1. I didn't want it to get any lower. Bengals to win the AFC North was the very first play that we made. You made it. I made it. Plus 175. Do I love it? Am I super confident about it? The answer is probably not. But plus 175
we
is
love
good
the
enough.
Number.
What's that?
I said we love the
we
number.
We love the number.
Yeah, we're still going to get a little CLV, so can't hate that.
Steelers under 8 wins. Steelers under 7.5 wins. Both alternate. 7.5 wins being the more sort of fundamental alternate number at plus 155 for all the reasons we've stated ad nauseum. I do believe the Mike Tomlin streak of 17 consecutive seasons without a losing record comes to a halt. I wrote in the updated betting guide. I mean, 17 is one thing, but 18 would be crazy, right? 18 in a row. I just feel like it's Russell Wilson is bad at football at this point. Justin Fields, when we last saw him in the preseason, missing open guys. And when I say missing, just not even seeing open guys downfield. Vintage Justin Fields, if you will. And then there's
no
the fact
Jalen Warren early. Like, you're going to be all Najee Harris, who you know I was super high on.
And
but
it's also this that the streak has taken on this mythical status of, and we don't then have the second thought of, well, how did they get the streak? And there's so much luck involved in that. Also, they faced a bevy of backup quarterbacks last year to get there. The record in one score games over the last 3 years has been unbelievably fortunate. And I know some people hear that and like, well, it's Mike Tomlin. Yeah, at some point, that's not sustainable. I'm sorry, it's just not.
By the way, I was in this conversation with someone last week about this. Do you notice? I think we made a change. Like, the show made a change. And, we do every once in a while with betting odds and stuff like this. But we called out everybody last year for it being like the lead line in every story. Like, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. Right? Became a running joke.
We started that joke. Yes.
It became a running joke. I haven't seen or heard nearly as many people this offseason bring that up. Nearly as many. It's still alive, but
it's still alive as well. Puka Nacua, Offensive Player of the Year, 32-1 again. I don't know if you know this, but Matt Stafford, Sean McVay, and Cooper Kupp, they all live in the same neighborhood in Los Angeles.
So you bet the other guy.
So I said, that's it. No more of this, because last year they just kept trying to feed an injured Cooper Kupp. I believe, Kelly, I might have used the word his boyfriend, Cooper Kupp. They do a podcast together, Stafford and Kupp. This is the year they figure it out. Puka, 32-1. Puka almost setting, setting rookie records last year and still not getting the rookie of the year because C.J. Stroud was C.J. Stroud. Jaden Daniels is my offensive rookie of the year play. It's 7-1. There was a stray remaining 7-1 over there at the D here at the Circus Sports Empire. I grabbed that a couple weeks ago. And Mike McDonald, coach of the year for the Seahawks. I do feel that Mike McDonald's defensive approach, which is going to be seen now by, you know, used by 5 or 6 different NFL teams. Perhaps the Seahawks are the 6th of them. It will get implemented. It will take some time, but I do think in the end, he will be the coach of the year. And according to Cleve's sort of guardrails, he fits the parameters of being a coach of the year candidate. By the way, this is a noteworthy list because there have been things I have talked about in the offseason that I have not taken the time to go down there and make the bet yet. So the Jets last undefeated.
That's why you
got
to have a bets to make list going.
That's your favorite.
That you can
one.
Double check. Come on, man.
Jets last undefeated and Patriots last winless. While I'm making tennis bets every day, I'm so focused on that inevitably there's a couple NFL bets that I actually haven't had in pocket yet, so I will make those this week, I promise.
Yeah, I think I've bet everything Patriots. Most regular season losses under their win total, last winless team. I do think most regular season losses and then the win total are kind of interesting because it would suck to win one of those and not the other. Because if you have one team that, goes low, right? I'll start with the top of my list here. Bengals, we talked about, win AFC North. I only have two division bets. Bengals in the North, Falcons in the NFC South at -130. Those are the only two. I will be looking Eagles in season. I do have a note written down for that in season to look at them, but nothing preseason here for me. Seahawks to make the playoffs, also as a wild card team. Shop around. Those numbers were wildly different. I was able to get +350 on that. Jaguars to miss the playoffs. Uh-oh, someone's got to in the AFC. It's going to be packed in the AFC East and the AFC North. Win totals for me. Bears under nine and a half, paying 165. So that is the alt high on the Bears to 9.5, but bet it under. That is my biggest bet win total wise. I mean, laying -165, so no big surprise there. Steelers, I just did the under 8.5, but I will be looking to jump back in on this one at some point during the season. Giants under 5.5. That is the alt low under +220. Bears already said that one. Patriots not currently listed, but I do have the under 4.5 along with those other bets for them. And then I got a lot of player futures, but we'll go over some of those tomorrow as we talk more.
Is this more? Oh, wow. You do. You have a bunch. Mm. Is this more preseason, season long NFL bets than you typically have? Did you intend to have this many or were you hoping to have less?
Okay. Great question. No, I think I've accepted the fact that when we spend an entire summer talking to smart people and talking to each other about these different type of bets and talk ourselves into bets, I'm okay with the list I have. I think honestly last year I probably had even more than this.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this. I just don't sink a ton of money into the futures markets like any of these. I will have more money in play on week one than I will on most of these futures bets.
I feel like this offseason lasted 1,000 days. So to not have any bets would be like ridiculous, right? You couldn't mute it. It's just forever. And so, inevitably, you're going to have many bets. We'll look at those MLB monthlies on the other side. Numbers game right here at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You got to be hip to sport trade, people. If you're the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 plus on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or maybe you're looking to get your in-play instantly accepted, it's Sports Trade. Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting. Sport Trade, -106 lines, little typo here, -106 lines, instant in-play betting, concierge player service. Sport Trade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live. Not just in New Jersey now, but also Colorado and Iowa, and coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall. Download Sport Trade and use code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa, people. Circa, the main house.
I didn't get to be here for the last read. Yeah. Like the exchanges are so good. Like if we had access to them, and Alex Cam will probably have on later this week on the show and talk about this a bit more. But like this is, if you have access to them, they're almost the first place you should be checking. I mean, why pay -110 when you can pay -106?
Earmuffs, Derek Stevens, earmuffs. If there was an exchange here in Nevada, I would probably do it exclusively.
I think you still got to have multiple places to shop, especially there's not always, if you're a bigger bettor, you can't always get as much down in the exchanges. But I think for anybody, they should at least be checking it first.
For sure. For sure. And there's all kinds of things happening, too. There's sweepstakes betting. So Texas and California is in play. It's like the world is becoming a bigger place. By the way, I should point out, every day, Kelly Bidlin puts together a beautiful rundown for me. I largely, ignore, some of your comments that I just noticed, like, during the show.
Hey, well, you give it a solid skim, okay? I don't know what comment you just picked up.
I talked about him earlier in the show, in the first segment, but you say, Arizona wide receiver Tetaro McMillan looks okay. Yeah, I'll say he does. You put these little nuggets.
There's little Easter eggs in there for you.
Yeah, little Easter eggs.
I swear, I had that game on like a TV, second TV was barely watching. I'm like, this guy just caught another ball.
Oh, one thing that is annoying about Tetaro McMillan, if you're watching an Arizona game, the announcers refuse to call him Tetaro McMillan. They only refer to him as T-Mac the entire game.
Yeah, I just went with McMillan the whole time. So yeah.
But T-Mac.
T-Mac.
So you could go, if you didn't know what his name was, you could go quarters.
Right.
Not just call him his name.
Where's Tracy McGrady at?
That's right. Tracy McGrady's like, hey, that's mine. I'm still here. Still alive. By the way, the tweets just keep coming in from folks, and we do appreciate it at Beating the Book. CB Moore, and I love that we're also we've been around together so long that our listeners feel this great talking this way. He goes, holy blank, we're 3 days away from the Megapod, he says. Actually,
yeah.
CB, if I may call you CB, if I can figure out how to use our newfangled link that we're using tomorrow, we might have the Megapod tomorrow for week one. It'll usually be on Thursdays, but for week one, we try to do it a little earlier. So it could be tomorrow. What are you laughing at?
The newfangled link. It's literally a link, I believe, that Gil's been sent. He just has to click on
it. It's
and
not
pull
the
it up.
Link I'm worried about. It's my setup I'm worried about.
Now that's much more of a concern. Yeah, yeah. Ken, yeah, he might need some help.
Sorry about that. Ken, you're invited to the apartment. Hank's best friend. I don't know what the problem is. I'm watching you in the mirror. And that way, see, we're on the same.
Oh, that's it. There you go.
And yeah. He says, and I get European odds. Birdie Betts. Gil, sitting on the left side is frying your brain. Fading that Pittsburgh defense week one. Get back to that right side and get the mind clear again. LOL, nice to see you and Kelly together in the same place. Great show.
As much as I am all in favor of our win total bets, I won't be shocked at all if we lose that week one bet. Like, I don't think there's any way Pittsburgh's blowing them out, but if you told me that Atlanta's defense not great and that their offense stumbles a bit out of the gates and that the Steelers win 20-17, I won't be shocked by that.
Listen, all you have to know, and this might have come up already when I'm filming for the new Circa Survivor docuseries.
Oh, man, he's really repeating the same things then.
Well, no, because I said, hey, could you be in our documentary again this year? I said I said everything I had to say.
Darnell, record this in case he needs to run it back later, okay?
So, but one of the things that they asked me were they're like, well, not that they asked me, but this came up is in Circa Survivor, every year, this is not like an anomalous thing, every year within 3 weeks, 70%+ of the entries are already out. So what does that tell you? What that tells you is we have months to talk about the NFL and 70% of the things we say might not be right.
Right.
Right. We just don't know.
I also think though, like, okay, so that is me, but I also go out of the gates ultra aggressive. Like I'm talking about using the Commanders week one, or not the Commanders, the Buccaneers week one, because I don't really want a piece of the Buccaneers down the stretch ever again.
Well, that's why the Saints are in play for me, right?
Yeah.
By the way, does your head feel naked? Do you feel like a wind on your head?
It's glorious.
Fantastic.
Poor Gil, though, he's at least 3 feet closer to me. So when I get fired up, oh boy, his ears are going to go soon.
Not pretty. Here's the review. We have been doing this all year long, and we like to think we're joking about this, but kind of not, that this has spurred more interest in baseball itself, baseball betting for sure, but maybe baseball itself, for God's sakes, for those who are involved in this, in the sport of baseball than anything, which is the monthly most wins bets, the most wins markets, if you will, month by month, which again, good on William Hill Caesars, good on Circa, and for at least the first month, the March/April, there's a few games in March, DraftKings, and then apparently DraftKings just retired from it after the first month. I don't know why they decided to do that, but William Hill Caesars and Circa has done it the whole way through. Going back to March, April, that was our Guardians. There it is. Let's can we flash these up on the screen? Do we want to do that?
We'll roll through each one.
Okay. This was the one that we were one out away from hitting 65-1 on the Guardians. One out away. And the Guardians ended up finished third. So the Phillies were the winners, ultimately. We don't even talk about that. The loss on the Guardians in March, April hurt more than the win in June. But anyway, so that's the Phillies won March, April. 20-11 was their record. They outdistanced the Braves. Remember, the Braves were great to open the season. The Guardians right there, one out away. In the month of May, we had the Guardians again at 16-1. They finished in third again, but this one wasn't quite as dramatic a flame out. They didn't get to the last day. They got to the second to last. The Yankees edged the Phillies in the month of May. Folks may or may not remember that. So again, it was the Phillies winning in March, April. It was the Yankees winning in May. And then when you go to June, this is the one we hit. We hit the Astros in dramatic fashion at 17-8, overcoming the Orioles and the Mets. So that's the one we won at both 25-1 and 17-1. So Phillies March, April, Yankees May. Remember the Yankees, we thought at that point they were invincible. The Astros won June. And then you go to July.
Astros with the tiebreaker. Love it.
In July, it was the Diamondbacks winning at Circa. They dead-heated with the Mets at William Hill Caesars. Remember, there's different rules when it comes to a tie in the win column. We extended it 9 clubs here because I had the Royals. They finished 9th at 13-10. So that was the first time we weren't in it till really the very end. And then August, this was our worst month, August. Even though the Mets end up finishing 10th or 11th in there somewhere.
They had a winning record.
We were never in
11th, I did cut a team out to make
it. I think they were 11th. We were never really in it. The Dodgers, in dramatic fashion, in case you missed this over the weekend, they take the month of August. The Diamondbacks had it on their racket, and they just gacked it. Dodgers, 19-8. They win Circa outright, if you had them. Short odds, but still they get it done.
Because first tiebreaker's losses.
The first tiebreaker at Circa is fewest losses. The second is best run differential. Brewers would have beaten them on the run differential, but the fewest losses is the first tiebreaker. So Dodgers win it outright at Circa. They dead heat with the Brewers in August. Why do we go through all that? Just to let you know, a different team has won this every single month. Who won it in July again? Did I miss that? Did I already forget who won it in July? I already forgot.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks.
Yeah, they were back.
The Diamondbacks, of course.
They were almost back-to-back.
Just like the Phillies were almost back-to-back March, April, and May, but it didn't happen. Just like the Guardians were almost back-to-back, but didn't win either of them. So anyway, it's been a different winner every month. But I, in case you missed it on Friday, I took the Diamondbacks 25-1 in the month of August. They get off to a nice start, an 11-run win over the Dodgers yesterday, which is second to the Cubs, who had a 13-run win. So off to a good start in the month of August. But again, it gets back to my discussion that I had with Borchardt earlier, which is the strength of schedule thing, which is a hallmark, you know, number of games, strength of schedule, which is a hallmark of handicapping each of these. Not so much for me, strength of schedule in the month of September, because of all the moving parts and motivations, that kind of thing.
These are the odds.
The Dodgers were the short shot. Thank you, Kelly. 5-1. Phillies were 7-1. Yankees 8-1. Orioles 8-1. Braves 9-1. A lot of that has to do with not only the, you know, strength of each ball club, but their strength of schedule. And I just don't buy into it as much. I couldn't believe the D-backs were 25-1. And apparently I might have moved that to 16-1 with my bet, perhaps. So 16-1 is where they close. So whatever you have, good luck. Final month of the season to do this. But this market, we talked to, you know, the old school pre-flop MLB season win totals being this tried and true great thing. This has overcome everything in terms of baseball bets for the year. Nothing has been as great as this.
That's made it fun. I think for us, I think for people watching, now we just got to get a little money involved for the players, you know, make it something important like the in-season tournament, the NBA.
Oh, you want to actually make it a part of the system.
Yes, best record in Major League each month. Get a paycheck.
Good luck with that. Pete Butak, his thoughts on college football week one from College Football News. That's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College football already underway, and a special numbers game investigation reveals that the NFL is kicking off this week. So there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, data, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis, plus our updated NFL betting guide with postseason, or I should say post-preseason updates for every team, new insight on players to watch, week one betting systems, and of course more best bets. Grab our football season special. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175, or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99. See why VSiN Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of these offers and start betting smarter today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Cannot wait for the NFL season. Cannot believe that it is here. And again, yes, we'll get into the routine of things not only here. This is our last Monday before guessing lines begins.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes, we always start guessing lines between before week two. It will be Kelly and me. Mishpucha we couldn't work it out with the Mishpucha. Not the Mishpucha's fault, not me, not our fault, no one's fault specifically, just couldn't be worked out. But guessing lines will begin week two, this coming Monday, but that is preceded by the first Megapod again, which should be out tomorrow because Kelly says I'm capable of hitting a link and making it happen. So,
I didn't know about your setup. Okay, don't blame that on me. I forgot about that part. That is important. I did want to make One more shout out. We had our great crew over at the D who's helped us, and they might be back. Crews are still a little bit up in the air right now. But Matt Larry, Sean McCollum, the great, legendary Sean McCollum, Chris Foster, excellent work over there. But man, it is just funny how you circle back here and just some of the great people we get to work with again. I got Isaiah Wrinkle right now back there TDing this morning, who was the great technical director and graphics operator during our primetime action run. You've got Brendan Mendez doing graphics back there.
Brendan Mendez.
Who used to do graphics for Gil like 6.5 years ago. Awesome to have Brendan back on the team. And then Darnell on audio, been killing it this morning. It also helps him in a little bit easier job when you don't have slot machines going off in the background.
Are Matt, Sean, and Larry still in the closet back there at the D?
Well, we're running shows out there. Yeah, they're doing some work out there.
All right. Hey, guys. Sorry back there.
They're just hidden. They don't have to be bothered by anyone. They've got an industrial strength air conditioner back there them.
True that. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us as the emperor of collegefootballnews.com. A treasure trove of college football content. It's also courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Futak, F-I-U-T-A-K. It is Peter Futak, everybody. Hey, what's happening, man?
We're men of a certain age. You mentioned the NFL. I don't know. Yesterday, just all day, felt like we should have been watching Giants, Eagles, and then get the Pat Summerall read for Murder, She Wrote, and then, you know, Lendl versus Wielander in the U.S. Open final, and then I might start thinking about doing my homework. I mean, Labor Day Sunday, it should be NFL yesterday. I know it's a setup, and I know we've got like 6 months of this, but just yesterday was like, yeah, let's go already. Come on, get this thing moving.
You did something off air that I would like to out you on, because it is like, you know, we wait all off season for football, both pro and college, and you're already complaining about the week two college slate already.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a bad slate. Well, look, yes, last week, and I know you always dog me because I'm correct in my being a Power Five snob. Well, last week I was an FBS snob because you had one loss by the FBS versus the FCS, and they were killing these FCS teams. So you had a whole slew of really bad games and also really, really easy winnable games betting-wise, because pretty much if you took all the FBS teams, you're all right, because over the long haul of it, they were just annihilating these FCS teams. This week, you just got bad. You have Texas and Michigan, which kind of makes everything all better. But you have a lot of other games outside of that, because out of the 80 games we got this week, there's not a whole lot to love. I mean, you have like South Carolina, Kentucky is our primetime game on Saturday night. It's a little lacking this week.
That, Pedro, is why we do a little something we like to call bet on these, because without that,
hey,
I totally
money's
get
just as good as Alabama money. We're all good here. Money's money. Exactly.
Let me ask you the go-to question. What is your single biggest takeaway or takeaways from week number one?
It continues. We're killing time. It's Georgia and Ohio State. Just they're going to slump. By the way, I got the Ohio State final score exactly right. So they're just going to kill everyone. Georgia's going to kill everyone. I mean, Clemson's good. You asked off air, is it just Miami? Well, you know, in the ACC, well, maybe. But Clemson's still got a whole lot of very, very, very good players. And Georgia just stuffed them like Clemson wasn't going anywhere. Clemson can still make the college football playoff. I mean, they still could be win the ACC or come in second and get into this thing. And again, Georgia just looked fantastic. So it's a long college season now, because the national championship's not till January 20th, and there's a whole slew of things that can happen. But the takeaway still remains the same, is that, you know, it's, I mean, I know everyone's going to still like Texas and everything, but it is Georgia, it is Ohio State, and that's it. But the other big takeaways is, like, USC is now a player again. You know, if you want to look at, you know, Notre Dame's a player again. Notre Dame's probably in it now after that win of Texas A&M. If you look at their schedule, there aren't more than two losses on there. So all of a sudden, we're talking on September 2nd, and this thing's already starting to take shape a little bit here.
I was going to ask you what was more significant. Maybe there's no way to answer the question between Notre Dame's win and USC's win as it pertains to a college football playoff. You could have it that, but I'm also curious about Miami and the ACC. It was not a great weekend for the ACC, but it certainly was at the top, if you will, for Miami and Cam Ward, who looked fantastic against Florida. Hard to tell what's, you know, where Miami good and Florida bad meets in that spectrum, in that continuum. But what about that? What was the most significant win when you look at it? Was it USC's? Was it Notre Dame's? Was it Miami's from a conference perspective in their case?
It was USC, because Notre Dame can, if you look at the rest of their schedule, even if they lost to Texas A&M, they probably weren't losing again until, you know, they dealt with Florida State later and then USC at the end. But USC winning this, because again, think of it this way. This is where it goes to Michigan, Texas this weekend, where I do think the loser of this is probably going to end up being out, because when you think of the college football playoff in general, it's three losses is not going to get it done. You got to go 10-2 at maybe 11-2. You got to only have two losses there. And USC, now you look at their schedule, they got a little bit of a defense there. There's not a lot there on that slate that they can't handle. They got Penn State. They do have Notre Dame. So again, they might lose twice. They're not going to lose three times if that defense is the real deal. That was the win that they had to get over. And for LSU, they're kind of hosed now because there's a whole lot of traffic in front of them. So for Notre Dame, though, now they're just lock them into the five seed. It's going to take something catastrophic for them not to get there. But going back to your Miami question real quick, missed that one. I just kind of thought that Florida was going to rise up at home and this is going to be, oh, we're SEC kind of thing. Nope, Miami looks fantastic. And at the very least, you know, again, you win the ACC championship, you're probably the 3 or 4 seed. And right now, Miami, Clemson, and that's pretty much it, because the rest of the ACC kind of looked eh. But let's see what Florida State does tonight against Boston College and go from there.
All right, we talked about this earlier in the show, Heisman. Since the year 2000, the only non-quarterbacks to win the Heisman Trophy, 2005, Reggie Bush, 2009, Mark Ingram from Alabama, 2015, Derrick Henry from Alabama, and then 2020, DeVonta Smith from the Crimson Tide at wideout. Those are the only four non-quarterbacks to win the Heisman Trophy. Obviously, McMillan for Arizona. Teterow McMillan had just an unbelievable first game.
Yeah, I think
season.
He just scored again. God, that was great.
You know, and I was talking about him at 65-1, but obviously there was other examples that happened in college football. Jeremiah Smith for Ohio State looked fantastic. Ashton Gentry for Boise State did. Could this be a year? Like, do you think that, and I didn't even mention, which I did in the first segment, but I didn't mention Travis Hunter. The theory being, Colorado's got to get to a bowl. Arizona's got to get to a playoff. Like, these teams have to do a certain, they have to get to a certain threshold for these guys to be considered. Do you, as someone with a Heisman vote, buy into that?
Considered yes, winning it no. And there's two different things here, because again, we can't make a Heisman winner necessarily. It's got to be something, you know, bizarre. It's Jalen Milroe, and he showed it again. Western Kentucky, it might win Conference USA title, and they might be just weird enough that they could get that number 12 seed in the college football playoff. And Alabama ripped through. You asked about the big stories this weekend. Alabama's good too. They ripped through it like it wasn't even there. In this offense, in this Kalen DeBoer offense, Jalen Milroe's stats are going to be just unbelievably amazing, and he's going to have the big games, and he's going to have the big moments. So just kind of look at this list here of Heisman guys you have on this list. It ain't going to be Dylan Gabriel. I think Oregon's going to lose a bunch of times, and Carson Beck, he's not going to have the numbers. Cam Ward's going to be kind of fashionable, maybe. On this list, Milroe, after next week, it might be Quinn Ewers, because if he lights up the Michigan defense, but it's Jalen Milroe. If you can get that 11-1 right now, that's going to go up fast.
Wow, Futek resolute on Milroe. You have been all off season, though. I must give you that.
I liked him last year. Yeah. I thought he should. I mean, it had to be Dayton Daniels. But you know, if you really broke it down, Milroe actually deserved it last year, even though it was Daniels, obviously. But this year, it's all there for him.
FSU and BC tonight as we close out week one. How do you see this? Blowout?
You hate it when I say this, but stay away because we don't know. We don't know exactly if Florida State's going to come back roaring. I kind of just sheepishly like Boston College to cover, but not by a whole lot. Florida State could come out and say, you know what, that week one thing was just a bad day, and they just come out and roll tonight. So again, stay away, but kind of like Boston College a little bit.
Peter Futek from College Football News. Maybe if FSU can learn how to tackle, that'd be a start.
That'd be nice.
That'd be a start.
Thank you, Pedro. Appreciate it.
Later, guys.
Coming back with Mike Samich. Samo bombing his picks. Multiple sports next right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to check out our new website, VSiN.com. I say new, but really it's been there the whole time. It's just a new look, new-ish look. Okay, it's been around a while. All kinds of sports, all kinds of bets from everybody. JVT on College Football Week 2, he's on there. and some Adam Burke week two thoughts in college football. Tyler Shoemaker, week two in full effect on the website now that I check out the front page. And Zach Cohen with his U.S. Open tennis picks. Zach will be on the show to join me tomorrow. Join Kelly and me tomorrow with his U.S. Open thoughts as the quarterfinals commence tomorrow. All of that at vsin.com. Check it out. Oh, and front and center, of course, the new vsin lineup announced as well. Bill 80 writing an article on our whole lineup after this show, by the way, Kelly. Stormy with money moves.
Yeah, we did not talk about this enough today. Sorry, we got very excited about our move to Circa.
He'll forgive us.
But incredible new lineup at VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com to check out the whole thing of what we got going. But new morning show started off awesome this morning. Was listening to a lot of that as I was prepping for our show. And yeah, we got money moves coming up later. Follow the money in the afternoon. So a little bit of new, a little bit of old, but a great lineup set up to go here on VSiN.
It's not money moves, Kelly. It's money moves. Do you think they're familiar with the fact that that's a Cardi B song when they name that show?
I'm going to go with partially yes.
Mm. Okay.
Partially yes.
I'll ask Stormy when she gets here. Money moves. Stormy. And I think Jeff Schwartz is with her today as well.
Mm-hmm. And our next guest will be with her quite often.
That is correct. Mike Somich joins us. Somo bombing, courtesy of the Progressive guest line at SomoBomb18. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. Looking forward to this new lineup. Looking forward to jumping on Money Moves. I'll be with Stormy Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week before heading out to Vegas for week one of NFL. And Matt and I ready to run it back this season with Ready, Set, Bet. That's going to be 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 Eastern on Saturday. And that'll include the inaugural contest show as well this year. So we'll be back doing the contest show with all the picks and all the Survivor talk that you want. It's going to be from 9 to 10 Eastern on Saturday.
Maybe you guys will be the narrators of the Circa Survivor docuseries once again.
I was going to say spoiler alert.
Get roped into it, man. Just getting roped into that one.
Ready, Set, Bet, not a Cardi B song, by the way. Not all the shows are named after Cardi B.
No, we missed out on it.
No. All right, let's start with, since you bring up football, why don't we start with week one in the National Football League and let us know again. I think you have about four picks here. What did you land on?
Yeah, I've got four of them that are on here. I'm sure we'll add some more to the card as we go. I heard you guys talking about Cardinals Bills. I agree with you. I lean toward the Cardinals in the points here, but I actually like over the total more. I think this is going to be an explosive Cardinals offense. We get a healthy Kyler Murray here. You get the addition of Marvin Harrison Jr. And I've got some real questions about the back end of this Bills secondary. The Milano injury, massive for them. Their difference in EPA when facing passing plays, huge with him on and off the field. He'll be out for the season. I think that's a big hit to this Bills team. And the Cardinals defense isn't very good. That's going to be their Achilles heel this year. It's going to be, can they outscore teams? I think this is a good spot to take the over. So played over 48 in this spot. And then my favorite bet of the week is another over here. We're going to go over 41.5. Broncos, Seahawks. Look, this is totaled like it's last year's teams. And I totally understand that. But you've got a new offensive coordinator and Grubb in there for Seattle. He was at University of Washington last year. He plays significantly faster of a pace than what we saw from the Seahawks last year. He also likes to stretch the field. I think you're going to see much more three wide sets, much more shots down the field, which should help open up the Seattle offense. And I think Mike McDonald's going to have a phenomenal season for Seattle from a defensive perspective. Just not sure it's going to be week one that they're going to be able to work in all of those new schemes from a defensive side. I think it's going to take a little time to go. And I'm a little higher on Bo Nix than the market. Have a rookie of the year ticket there. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I think he has some success early in the Seattle defense struggles. So let's go over the 41.5. You can get that in one spot. So make sure you shop there on that Denver-Seattle game.
You're very high on the Browns, as I recall, but you see this Browns-Cowboys game going under.
I have cooled on the Browns, Gil. It's been a rough preseason from a Browns perspective. One of my big parts of the handicap was that offensive line was really banged up last year. I thought they would be healthier. And you just needed Deshaun Watson to be a middling quarterback for this team to have a very good shot at the division. Well, fast forward to the end of the preseason, the offensive line banged up again. Deshaun Watson, just who knows what you're going to get from him. I've lost any real confidence in him being even middling at this point. I do like the under in this spot. I think people forget how good this Cowboys defense was at times, specifically rushing the passer. Now with a banged up Browns offensive line week one, I think the Browns struggled to, or the Cowboys, the Browns struggled to move the football. And I think this Browns defense could be top three, top five in the NFL as well. It's found this total sitting at 42.5. So I will go under the Browns Cowboys 42.5 here.
All right, one more NFL before we go to college. What do you got?
This one is tough. I'm going to play the Raiders plus 3.5 in the contest for sure. I'm not sure if I'm going to bet this because I have Raiders win total season over and Chargers win total season under. So this is one of those unique week one situations where it's a high leverage game for a bet that, or two bets that I already have a unit on each. The question for me is, how much do I want to put into that preseason idea that the Raiders are better than expected? The floor is higher for them, specifically with Minshew. I'm really down on this Chargers team. They don't have any weapons on the outside. And the weakness for the Raiders is the secondary. Can the Chargers beat this Raiders secondary is the big question for me. I don't think they can. I think the Raiders match up well against the run. They should also be able to pressure the passer in this spot here. So I like the Raiders plus the 3.5. Again, still available 3.5 in a couple places. I like the Raiders on the money line in this spot. I have not personally bet it yet because I have those two win totals. I will definitely be using Raiders in the contest, and I probably end up at the window on the money line of the Raiders here as well.
All right, college football week two, Texas and Michigan. This is 7 now in favor of the Longhorns. I'm trying to sort of fight the feeling of laying the number here because it looks short to me. You actually got it at 6.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday on the handle when JVT and I were hosting 11 o'clock a.m. West Coast. All these lines came out, and I immediately bet this -6 with Texas for a couple reasons. First off, there's no way this doesn't go through 7 by the time we kick off here. You can still get some 6.5s in the market. I think this is going to be 7.5, 8 for Texas by the time we kick off. If that's the case and you don't love the Texas side, you can buy back and get a pretty sweet middle here with Texas and Michigan. I watched that Michigan offense. They were atrocious, like very, very bad yesterday. I like if you look at the drive charts, how they scored, they can't throw the football. And that's going to be a huge problem for this Michigan offense against Texas, who, yes, Michigan's defense is good, but Texas is going to have some success offensively in this game. I think Texas covers any number under 7. So 6.5, you can find it, take it. I took the 6. I do think we end up closing closer to 7.5 or 8 here for Texas.
I like a sweet middle, Mike. I don't even know what that means, but I like one. If we could set that up.
Not going to touch that.
No, don't. Colorado, I'm assuming you've seen all you need to see, that it is you're going to get Shador, you're going to get Travis Hunter just being unbelievable on offense, but the defense is what it is, and so you're going over here with Colorado?
I thought this Colorado-Nebraska total should be in the low 60s, and we're sitting here at 57.5 in a lot of places. I love the over here. Nebraska is not the Nebraska of yesteryear. They can move the football. We saw them their offense be explosive here in week one. Colorado is the same Colorado, right? They're not going to play a lick of defense, and they're going to move the football on offense. Both these teams also played a significantly faster pace, and I think people realize I'm shocked this isn't low 60s. So, yeah, give me the Colorado-Nebraska over 57.5.
All right, one more college.
Yeah, Oregon -18. I'm surprised this one's on my card, but this was a 24-point line against Boise State. What changed in week one that makes this a 6-point move? Are we downgrading Oregon 6 points for playing an Idaho team and that they didn't play great against but are going to be fired up week two against Boise State? Are we upgrading Boise State, who barely covered the opening line and did not cover the closing line against Georgia Southern? And by the way, looked very porous on defense. Give me Oregon -18. I think this is way too big of a move.
All right. And baseball, 4 weeks left in the season. Before we get to your two plays, by the way, how are you feeling about your our intra VSIN futures competition show to show? You have the Royals to win. You and Matt, I believe, have the Royals to win the AL Central. Did you keep that?
We did. We've kept it the whole way, and it's starting to pay off a little. Big game today. We got the Guardians today. Need a Royals victory. This is a bet that I made preseason. Matt and I both have win total Royals over. That's already cash. This is a team that we were just higher on, and so we felt like it was a good way to take a small shot, not a massive one in the contest, but at least a small shot that we thought we could win. So we've held the Royals the whole way through.
Yeah, we have the Braves to miss the playoffs, so this might be a mano a mano between us here down the stretch.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
All right, what two did you play? A couple first fives today?
Yeah, a couple first fives for me. First one, Orioles team total over 2.5. It's Chris Flexen day for the White Sox, and the weather in Baltimore is quite nice. I'm shocked this isn't 3.5. You can get 2.5, over 2.5, -125 first five for the Royals. So absolutely love that one. And then at some point, the market needs to stop sleeping on Osvaldo Beto. Since he became an actual starter, he has a sub-3 ERA for the A's. The last 5 games, he's given up 2 earned or less and gone at least 5 innings in each of those starts. He's not going to go very deep. He's a guy who came in from the bullpen. But if he keeps going 5-plus and he keeps giving up 2 or less and you keep getting plus money on him first 5, I will keep running back to the bank here. So give me the A's first 5 plus 125. Love the price as well.
Stop sleeping on him, Gil. I don't know how many times I got to say this. Every week.
Osvaldo Beto, man.
By the way, you bring up the White Sox because you're fading. White Sox in August, 4-21 with a -58 run differential. Now on the season, 31-107. 31-107.
What are ticket prices like?
Not even their worst month, Gil.
Not even their worst month. I think last month was their worst, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way.
They didn't win a game after the All-Star break. It was funny. The countries that won gold medals versus the games won versus White Sox could have been a prop, and the countries won would have won.
Run differential currently -291. Told that's not good. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Ready, set, bet. Money Moves is next. Stormy Bonnetoni right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.